The Ricolto Recipe.
5 years ago, Ricolto was born. Formerly known as Vredeseilanden or Vico, this Belgian development NGO turned into an international organization to make the system behind our food fairer, more transparent, and environmentally friendly. Why? Because everyone has a right to good food. We are working on this not only in countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, but also in Belgium. My name is Jelle Goossens, and I have been working for the organization since 2006. In the Ricolto recipe, I talk to colleagues about how they are changing the world with good food. 5 questions about 5 years of Ricolto, about the past and the future. Welcome to this new episode of the Ricolto recipe. We've been recording most of our episodes in this series in Dutch, but today we're doing another one in English. The reason being that our guest today is not that much into speaking Dutch, but luckily she's super into today's topic, the world of rice, an everyday meal for almost half of the world population. However, rice is also both culprit and victim of the major challenges we face today. Very welcome to the Ricolto recipe, Satur Utami Dewi. Now, just for the listeners to know, we record this podcast via Zoom because of the very practical reason that there's about 12,000 kilometers between Belgium and Indonesia. So that might affect the audio quality now and then, but we sure hope that everything turns out nicely. All right, Satur Utami Dewi, let's start with a very basic introduction question. Who are you?
Goedendag, Jelle. Well, that is the better part of my dad. So my full name is Satur Utami Dewi. I'm a Javanese. Just for you to know, Dewi Sri is the name of our rice goddess. So nomen est omen.
You are destined to be in this job.
Yes. I'm based in Indonesia. I studied in Indonesia and in Taiwan and hold master degrees in development studies and development management from Germany and South Africa. Previously, I worked among others in the German Konrad Adenauer Foundation in Indonesia and with DFID in Nigeria.
So then when did you join Ricolto or Vico, as we were formerly called abroad?
I joined in 2014. Back then, it was called Vredeseilanden Country Office Indonesia.
And what was your position back then? How did you, what was the scope of your work then?
I worked as an external impact evaluator for Ricolto in 2013. And they thought it might be good to have me full-time on board. So I joined as monitoring, evaluation, and learning coordinator, and then became the program director and later regional director for Indonesia. In these positions, I was in charge of all our programs in Indonesia. That means cacao, cinnamon, coffee, good food for cities, and of course, rice. I'm the global rice program director since 2021, in charge of our rice program in 9 countries across Asia and Africa.
So when you decided to make the step from being external evaluator to becoming a real staff member of the organization, what was your motivation back then to make that step?
Well, I liked the program I evaluated at the time. And further on, I identified with the mission of Ricolto. And of course, I also like its international organizational culture and being myself, being an Asian, working in the Asian context and also having substantial experience in Africa. So that is just fitting me. And for me, I find that it's not just a job. I rather feel that I can make a real contribution. And most of all, I like to work with very nice and competent colleagues across the countries.
All right, Dewi. Now, before we dive into the world of rice, Let's talk a bit about your past, say, 5 years here at Ricolto. What have you been working on specifically?
So I work in Ricolto since 2014, starting from the monitoring, evaluation, and learning coordinator. So I was in charge of the overall processes with regard to program design, program monitoring, and program evaluation, and along these lines, ensuring that learning are taking place in all the programs. To be very specific, that programs covers cacao, cinnamon, coffee, good food for cities, and rice. And I became the program director in 2018. And I was in charge of representing the program and making sure that everything is aligned with the design, and also looking at ways to explore the context as well as the innovations around these programs that we are implementing. And further, as regional directors, I step up further. This was also making sure networking with the donors and with the government, of course, have to be taking place, representing Ricolto in different platforms or different organizations, and also in also representing Ricolto in Indonesia for the relation with other stakeholders, including with the Belgian embassies.
I think that the red line I see is your focus also very much on the quality of the work that we deliver. Coming as a monitoring and evaluation person, you seem to be always focused on, are we doing the right things and are we doing them in the most effective way? Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's really important that people could trust on us. So we have to be also accountable to that and deliver results as we promise them, and be also open if there are challenges in the process, and look for solutions together. I think that's the key on way moving forward together with partners, with also with the other stakeholders, and the, of course, our sponsors, our donors.
Yeah, I think that's really critical, and a lot of people don't see the back office of that process, which involves a lot of technical reporting tools, finding out the right methodologies to measure our impact. So it's really something that is out of sight of a lot of people. But as you mentioned, it's really critical to be able to provide this information to our donors. Good, Dewi. So today your work is completely focused on rice, we could say. But let's take a step back and ask ourselves, why is Ricolto focusing on rice as one of the cornerstone programs to make our food system more sustainable?
Well, rice may not be as glamorous as caviar or truffles, but it is indeed the second most important staple after corn, and supplies the daily calorie intake for 3.5 billion people. So rice is also life. That means it is providing livelihood for more than 20% of the global population. And if we look at the demand, by 2050, it is expected that there is an increase of rice demand by 25%. So if we cannot feed them, there will be dramatic, dramatic problems. So that's the bigger perspective. And we are facing at the same time challenges with a high economic and environmental impact, and also the cost of the current rice farming practices. So farmers tends to use excessive amount of chemical inputs, seeds, which depletes the soil health and brings high production costs. So for your information, currently rice consumes 40% of the world's irrigation water and produces 10% of the global methane emissions. And if we look at the agricultural sector alone, rice contributes to 30% of the methane emissions and 11% of the nitrous oxide emissions. So it's in total 2 billion tons a year. So if we are talking about sustainable food system, we need to be to help or to support farmers to make them more efficient in the use of resources and reduces the environmental impact. The rice value chain also needs improvement to be more inclusive to smallholder farmers. And we should not forget women and youth who are also playing important role here. So because of the hard physical work in agriculture, young people tend to look for jobs in the cities. They are not interested in being dirty, working in the wet paddy fields. But through trainings in farming, in supporting them with modern technologies, access to the technologies, work around rice, access to finance, and improving the management of businesses, that is expected to make the sector more sustainable in the long run. And again, when we are talking about sustainable food system, we must not forget that the consumers also deserves healthy and safe rice that is affordable for them.
All right, so it really sounds like rice is a critical crop if we want to face the challenges on the level of food, on the level of climate, environmental challenges, but also the economic perspectives of many millions of people. Can you talk a bit more about these very concrete activities then that answer these challenges that the rice sector is facing? What does the work of Ricolto means, say, on the ground level with the farmers and the companies working in the business?
That is indeed fascinating work, because we are working with different stakeholders in our program. So to start with, from the farmer and farmer organizations. So we support them to understand about the sustainable rice cultivation practices. So we follow the sustainable rice platform standard, and also providing farmers with the capacity through training, technical assistance, coaching, and show them how to do this through the demonstration plot. And we also support farmer organizations to control the quality, manage the quality of the rice from the, of course, from the production aspect, and but also on the processing. So then they are able to deliver quality rice. And other activities that we are working on is engaging private actors to market the rice produced by farmers. And on top of that, we are also providing farmer organizations also with the capacity to improve their business capacities and in their capacity to manage their members on how best deliver services to their members. Another element of our work is looking at ways to improve the environment whereby farmers and farmer organizations that they can produce sustainable rice and can be marketed as sustainable rice. So that means we are working with other stakeholders to improve the policies around rice. And we are joining multiple rice platforms at the national level and at the global level.
Right there, where you talked about a lot of the very concrete activities that Ricolto is doing within this rice sector. Now, of course, Ricolto also turned into a really international organization around 2018, and this also translates in more global programs. Can you explain us a bit what did this transition to an international network organization mean for the way that we organize our activities on rice?
I'm lucky that actually I'm part of this process when development of the ideas and moving forward to become a network organizations. And what I see it is that that our philosophy might be described as think global, act local, learn global. So I see it that we work as a global team where we agree on what we want to the global strategy, what we want to achieve as a global rice program, and then yet these are put into practice into programs in the respective regions and countries by contextualizing it. So then it fits to the situation, the challenges and opportunities in the respective countries. And I would say that for each country, so we have the common track along the programs globally. So it is around the sustainable rice production, on the market inclusion and promotion of enabling environment. But then each country or region has its own flagship or programs that are outstanding and can inspire other countries to learn from, to adopt, so on. So let me give you some examples. So in Burkina Faso, we successfully implemented a franchise model of parboiled rice by women. So this model is currently being adopted by our Senegal program. And again, also taking from the experience of Burkina Faso that they apply smart valley approach. So basically, this is a community-based work to improve the irrigation systems. So the colleagues from Burkina went to Democratic Republic of Congo to show and to share and to teach the colleagues in Congo about this technology to be applied there. So this is the cross-learning between different programs in different countries. So then it's kind of we act as one. And I would say that other examples is the success of our Congolese team to develop the new local label and market local quality rice in the supermarket in the city. So that is also something that is currently being scaled up in Congo, but also inspires other teams in West Africa and also within East Africa to adopt this model. And very recently, everybody's eyes actually are on Vietnam that is advancing in developing carbon rice project, and we hope that Indonesia will follow. So the idea is that because this low carbon rice and carbon market, access to carbon market is new for the rice, we do hope to learn from the experience in Vietnam so that we can also develop this project further in other countries in West Africa and East Africa.
And just to get a sense of what is it that is about, it's really about making farmers develop activities in which they store carbon in the soil. Is that what the project then is about? Or
no, this is about reducing the carbon emissions. So this is not storing, but preventing from the high emissions. As I said before, that the carbon emissions from the rice cultivation is high, 10% of the global methane emissions. So that has to be reduced, and there are ways to reduce it. So these are practices that we introduce to farmers, and also another thing that we are currently working on in Vietnam is working together with other organizations to initiate or piloting the use of technology or the satellite based technology for the MRV, for the monitoring, reporting and verifications of greenhouse gas emissions in rice. So we collaborate with ERI and with the Carbon Farm. This is technology companies that develop this technology, and we pilot it in Vietnam.
Sounds super interesting. Now you already also mentioned in the previous question the sustainable rice platform. As you mentioned, the take of our work is act local, learn global. How does this sustainable rice platform fits into that? First, what is a sustainable rice platform, and how do we work with it?
Sustainable Rice Platform is a global initiative that consists of, at the moment, more than 100 members, consisting of rice research institutes and international organizations like Ricolto, the government, and also private actors, that we are all united to the common agenda of promoting sustainable rice. And this Sustainable Rice Platform, or SRP, develops the first sustainability standard in rice. So then we agreed to promote this standard because of the benefits towards the economic benefits, the social benefits, as well as the environmental benefits in the application of this standard. So at the moment, SRP has facilitated also the marketing of the SRP labeled rice in several countries in Europe, including in Belgium. And the challenge, what we see as a challenge, is to develop the domestic market for the sustainable rice, whereby price difference is not that high. So then consumers are still able to pay. So I'm talking about the mainstream consumers, not only the niche market that is ready to pay considerably much higher price. So when we are talking about sustainable food systems, we should also embrace the mainstream consumers, not only the niche market. And that's where we are all looking at ways on how to do it.
Yeah, and so this sustainable rice standard is really a common tool that is accepted by all the actors in the value chain as a good way to go forward and improve the sustainability of the rice sector on from production to consumption, as I understand it.
It is indeed the case, but the challenge is also for the governments to also accept this and adopt the practices that are in the standard. Because there is always, when we are talking about sustainability in the rice productions, it doesn't necessarily mean at the cost of the productivity. It is it goes hand in hand, because we should not only talk about the environmental sustainability, for instance. We should also ensure that the availability or the productivity is still high, so that rice demand from the consumers can be met.
All right, Davy, let's jump to our fourth question. You've been around since a couple of years in the organization. What would you consider your best, most memorable moment at Ricolto?
That's the most difficult question. I would say that there are so many positive aspects. So I find it difficult to single one out. I mean, I got that question several times, but I never
you can
single
highlight
out
one or more.
But No, but okay, what I can say is that my brain never sleeps in ricotta because there is always something new and innovative. And I'm always happy and yeah, I cherish the good collaboration with the team who share the same vision and passions also. Yeah, that keep me happy and motivated. So that's the best moment one can have from their job, no?
Absolutely. And if I turn the question around and would ask for your most challenging moment in your years at Ricolto, what would that be?
That was when COVID started, I got affected and I badly sick from COVID. But of course the work had to go on somehow, no? So I'm really very grateful for the support and understanding of all colleagues in that period that I could go through and back to business as always.
What were the main effects of this pandemic, of the COVID crisis on the RISE program and maybe also just on the RISE business?
It went on several levels, no, at the beginning, especially, of course, it was about distribution, especially the distribution, because actually farmers continue to produce rice. What I can, for instance, as I'm based in Indonesia, I can say how it was clearly for the first couple of months, the rice distribution was disturbed. And then after that, it got better because then, although the government put heavy restrictions, but somehow the rice production distributions flew again. So in some countries, they are facing some issues exactly because of the distributes that price increased because they couldn't get access, especially those that countries that are still importing from other countries. So of course immediately the price is increased because there's not sufficient rice flowing into the country. But then yeah, that's I think that was the COVID. And when we are talking about the followed up by the Ukraine and the Russian war, then of course that's access to fertilizers and so on that also becomes a challenge. Although then the good learning or the good takeaway from that is that every countries are now paying attention on their food security. And in the countries where we are working, some are having rice surplus like Vietnam and Tanzania, but the others are rice consuming countries, but they still need to improve their productions. They are still dependent on the import. This makes the government open the eyes, the importance of also putting efforts to improve rice productions in the countries.
So it's a crisis that puts the topic on the agenda and does also offers new opportunities for our RISE program, I can imagine.
Yes, and also people are now also talking about local quality rice. So it's not only about having rice, but they are also putting the attention of the importance of
Quality
putting
and
quality
taste.
rice on plates. And also I had some visits in the countries where we are working, and I met with the government, with the ministries of agriculture and environment, for instance, and they are all also stressing now on the sustainability aspect. So this is also an important opportunities that Ricolto can work on further.
Then we already end up with our last question, Dewi. Imagine for a second that we fast forward 5 years ahead. What would you wish for Ricolto and for our RISE program?
Yeah, for Ricolto, as you know that we are working on sustainable food system, and I hope that in 5 years' time we have a lot of evidence from our programs that can put us in the spotlight when we are talking about sustainable food system. And for the rice program specifically, yeah, I hope that in the countries where we work, that we will have sustainable rice available and affordable by the mainstream consumers. This is work in progress, of course, but my wish is that more and more sustainable rice in the market and can be consumed by the consumers, that everybody involved earns fair income so that they can live adequately. And if I may dream a little, I wish that we will be able to expand our rice program to more countries in Africa and in Asia, so that more people will benefit from the better food and from a better environment.
That sounds like a great ambition to strive for, and I sure hope that well, in the coming years we can already make the first steps to make your ambition happen. Dewi, super many thanks for having this conversation. Thanks for making time for this. I wish you all the best in your work with teams across the globe in our RISE program.
Thank you, Yele, also for the opportunity to share this fascinating work that we are doing to the listeners.
You're very welcome, and I'm sure they will find it very intriguing. And I hope, of course, we can count on the continuing support of our many supporters in Belgium and in other countries to support the work that we are doing on RISE and in the many different programs across the globe. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Do tell other people about it. And I sure hope that we find ourselves back within a month for our next episode of the Ricolto Recipe.
More information about Ricolto? Check ricolto.org.